Trust Once Lost. Chapter 4. Self-Incrimination. I woke with a full bladder and I took care of it. Having different plumbing was a bit odd, to be sure, but taking a piss in the forest isn't exactly rocket science. So I managed just fine, thank you very much. The other ache in my abdomen was the emptiness of hunger, but the sensation had lessened somewhat since yesterday. Fasting for 24 hours was something I expected my patients to manage without complaint. It would be hypocritical of me to whine about it so soon. Rationalizations were fine, but I was still really hungry. Alright, so hear me out. Luna told me to stay by the river and wait for rescue. But that didn't mean I had to stay put. So if I followed the river upstream, I could find higher ground to figure out where I was and still be by the river if any pony actually did find me. It wasn't lying, it was just creative interpretation. My lungs burned and my legs ached at the strain of trekking uphill across rocky ground. My endurance still sucked, but accounting for the fact that I was a child, that made perfect sense. I brought back my pace a little so I could stay below the aerobic threshold, breathing as deeply as I could with my smaller lungs. As a human adult, this level of exertion would have been a steady jog, but as a filly and traveling uphill, all I could manage was a walk. The boulders up ahead looked promising. More rocky terrain meant fewer trees. With any luck, I could get a better view. But they also presented a problem. Boulder hopping was difficult enough as a human. As a pony, I wasn't sure I'd have the strength and stamina for it. The alternative was to wander away from the river and look for an easier way up. The obvious downside to this was that it would take longer and I wouldn't be near the river if any pony came looking for me. The third option was to stay put and wait for rescue, but I'd already decided against that this morning, so it didn't require too much thought. I took a break and drank some more cool water from the river. My coat was, coated in a sheen of sweat, and I took some time to enjoy my intact, healthy skin that I didn't have an irresistible urge to tear off with my fingernails. It was a good thing too, since I'm not sure how I'd manage that without fingers. I examined one of my hooves. It did have a layer of skin and fur on the underside, but underneath that thin layer was a soft hoof and a softer frog on the inside. I wasn't sure how the skin on the underside of my hoof wasn't destroyed when it got crushed between the hoof and the ground. All I could say for sure was that it was a lot tougher than human skin. The hoof wasn't as hard as that of a horse on Earth. It felt more like some kind of cartilage, which I could flex slightly with effort. Certainly not enough to grab anything, though. I knew ponies could grasp things with their hooves, so that must be another kind of magic I had yet to learn. I could remember that mountain goats on Earth had flexible, rubber-like hooves, which enabled them to climb rocky terrain, even near vertical slopes. I looked up at the boulders ahead of me. I guess it was time to find out if I was part mountain goat. I wasn't. For my bouldering ability, I had determined that even if there had been any mountain goats in my lineage, they'd have disowned me out of shame. As I leaped from one boulder to the next, I'd more than once had my hooves slip on the occasional patch of moss. I'd have some bruises on my chest and sides, but nothing serious. That is, until one boulder moved. I was dripping with sweat. My oversized eyes burned as I struggled to wipe sweat out of them with an even sweatier foreleg. I jumped and landed. Then the world shifted. I tried to keep my balance, but I fell. The wind was knocked out of me, distracting me just long enough that I didn't notice until too late that the stone was tipping towards me. I barely had time to flinch, instinctively raising my foreleg in a futile attempt to hold back the massive rock. I squeezed my eyes shut. And then there was a crunch. The pain hit me like nothing I'd felt before. The spike of pain was so intense that my vision flashed and I may have passed out for a moment. I don't know how long I was in that state, but after some amount of time, the pain reduced to a sharp throb, as every part of my body vibrated with energy. My heart was beating so fast it felt like it would explode. My skin felt cold as ice. At this point, I could tell the pain was coming from my right foreleg. I finally opened my eyes, but I couldn't see my foreleg. It was under the boulder. If there was ever a time to panic, it would have been then. But I didn't. I couldn't. My body was keyed up as it was possible to be and had no level of panic above this to go to. Instead, all emotions and irrelevant thoughts had disappeared from my mind.
Leg is trapped under rock. Lift rock? No, rock too heavy. Try to move leg. Feel it moving. Ouch. Pain. Not crushed flat? Why? Oh, can see ground is soft. Try to pull leg out. Ouch, leg won't move. Not supposed to bend there. Bone is broken. Sharp inside leg. How?
The spike of pain was enough to slow my thoughts somewhat and allowed me to remember my training.
First aid. DRSABCDD. BBB. Unable to move from danger. Responsive. Skip rhesus. Assess blood. Burns. Breaks. Am I bleeding? Can't see. Removal of crushing object may cause fatal hemorrhage. Do not remove crushing object. Wait for medics. Don't trust medics to find me in time. Must self-rescue. Apply tourniquet. Don't have one. Improvised tourniquet. Unable.
Hitting that dead end slowed my thoughts even further. Even if I could have made a tourniquet, I didn't have a way to lift the rock. And even if I wanted to, I had no means of amputating my leg. But maybe I didn't have to. If I could dig out the dirt underneath my foreleg, that should allow me to pull it free. But that still left the problem of potential hemorrhage, though. I wasn't sure if I was bleeding at all, but with my rescue so far away, any serious blood loss would likely be a death sentence. I only had two choices at this point. Lay under this rock and trust they would find me before I had died, or risk a much faster death by digging myself out. If I stayed, the shock was gonna wear off, the pain would return, and there would be absolutely nothing I could do about it. Call me a coward, but I was afraid and willing to face death. I dug the hole deeper. It was agonizing work. Touching my leg sent a wave of pain that made the muscles tense, which was even more painful as they pulled on broken bones. When I made progress, it meant the leg was no longer supported by the earth underneath it, which caused it to bend because I couldn't hold it up under its own power. It was with one of these painful spasms that my foreleg finally came free. My vision flashed again as the indescribable pain returned. The next thing I remember is laying on my back, cradling my injured leg against my chest. There were tears streaming down my face as the leg throbbed, but I managed to hold it up long enough to inspect the damage. The lower leg was bruised and bent out of shape. I could see one fragment of what would have been my radius if I were human, causing the skin to bulge outwards, but thankfully not piercing it. There was some blood, but only from superficial cuts and scrapes. It was swollen, but hopefully not swollen enough to restrict blood flow. With no fingers, I couldn't take my radial pulse, but the throbbing in my hoof was a good indication that there was still blood flow. I cradled the hoof against my chest and found the position that caused the least pain. Then, I passed out. Luna was standing in front of me the moment my dream began. She must have some way to tell when I'm sleeping.
Princess Luna!
I bowed awkwardly. In the dream realm, my body was whole again, but I still felt a phantom pain in my broken leg.
Hi.
Luna gave me the same neutral expression she had at the end of our last conversation. Clearly, she was hiding how she felt about the situation. But beyond that, I couldn't see anything. Her poker face was too good.
Young filly, we shall give you a chance to be honest with us.
Luna said flatly.
If thou art truthful with thy words, we will not be mad with thee.
If her increasing use of muddled Middle English was any indication on how strongly she felt about the situation, she's either really pissed, or something else. I still had no idea what secret she thought she knew about me, but with my new outlook on the situation, I didn't have to lie. This was my body. This had always been my body. My human memories happened to the original, not to me. I wasn't sure if the original was real, so describing it as imaginary wouldn't be a lie. Perhaps this was about a more recent lie, though. I knew she could vaguely track my distance from her in the dream realm, so maybe she just knew that I hadn't stayed in one spot like I promised.
So,
I began sheepishly.
Remember? remember how you told me to stay by the river?
Luna kept her face neutral while she expertly raised one eyebrow.
We hath told thee to cease thy wandering,
she corrected.
Yeah.
I conceded.
So that may not have gone entirely as we planned.
Luna opened her mouth to speak, and I flinched at what I expected to be the Royal Canterlot voice. Seeing this, Luna sighed, her blank expression dropping and... was that guilt? She walked towards me, and I reflexively stepped back to keep a comfortable distance. Internally, I kicked myself. The look of hurt that briefly flashed across her face confirmed that she had taken it the wrong way.
I'm sorry!
I squeaked.
Seriously, even in the dream realm, my voice squeaks. I didn't mean to upset you, I'm just not comfortable around ponies that are taller than me. Hopefully that- Oh god, what did I just say? Crap.
Seeing my look of panic, Luna's horn glowed. She was getting ready to leave.
Wait, don't go!
I called out urgently.
I need-
While I was talking, Luna's form had shifted to that of a blue alicorn filly. No taller than I was. She cut me off by pressing a hoof to my mouth, smiling sadly at me.
Please, be at ease,
she reassured.
I will not abandon thee. I'm sorry to have scared you.
She sat down on her haunches in front of me.
My god, she was so adorable, I just wanted to hug her. You know, she probably would let me. No, focus!
Important stuff first. Once in a lifetime chance to hug Wuna, later. Dude, I tried to find that crunch sound effect so bad, but I don't know where I lost it. And I really want to read more of this, but the plumber's coming in just a few minutes, and I'm like,
damn it. Anywho, let's get on to our organized donators. Top donators are 630, Only One Thing, Cerule Ryan, and Iron Sky. Darkseid, Raiden, Narwhals, Black Moonheart, Pastel Skies, Austin Rollins, Stu Hex, Swordbrother, Mordred, Omicron Lyrae, Will Chris, Twinkie, Ritzel, Badass Waffle, Shadow Moon, Luigi88, Chancer Crest, BigSmoke369, Bobcatchy, JF, and many more awesome people. Thank you all so much for watching this video and live life to the fullest.